WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC on the morning after Nancy Pelosi gave the longest floor speech in the history of the House of Representatives. It was 8 hours, and it had a point. It was to pressure Speaker Paul Ryan into allowing a floor debate on legalizing the Dreamers, like Mitch McConnell will be allowing in the Senate. So what did Nancy Pelosi talk about for 8 hours to make that point? Mostly she told stories of Dreamers and their lives in the United States, stories like this.
When Laura Alvarado was 8 years old, her family brought her to the United States from Mexico. She grew up in Chicago, Illinois. In high school, Laura was an excellent student and was involved in many extracurricular and volunteer activities. She was a member of the National Honor Society. The National Honor Society, the resounding theme of all of this, a member of the National Honor Society. She played soccer, tennis, and basketball, and she was a member of the student government, the school newspaper, the chess club, and the yearbook club. Laura went to Northeastern Illinois University. In college, she worked two jobs to pay for her college tuition. Keep in mind, she is ineligible for federal financial assistance because of her immigration status. In 2006, Laura graduated with honors with a major in justice studies. But then she was stuck. Laura wanted to become a lawyer, but was unable to pursue this dream, Mr. Speaker, because she was undocumented. 6 long years later, in 2012, President Obama established DACA and Laura's life changed. In 2013, Laura received DACA, enrolled in school in Southern Illinois University. In law school, Laura won the most moot court competition. She won the moot court competition. How about that? And was selected for the Order of the Barristers of the Honor Society. This spring, 10 years after she graduated from college, Laura received her law degree. Over the summer, she passed her bar exam, and just last month, Laura received her Illinois law license.
Nancy Pelosi, 90 seconds of her 8-hour record-breaking floor speech in the House yesterday, as many people have noted, without a bathroom break and in 4-inch heels. Now, this is also a morning on which the White House aide accused of domestic violence, Rob Porter, will apparently be leaving his job right away after CNN reported yesterday that the White House chief of staff, John Kelly, knew about the allegations against Porter for months. This is the same White House chief of staff, John Kelly, who recently said this.
You know, when I was a kid growing up, a lot of things were sacred in our country. Women were sacred and looked upon with great honor. That's obviously not the case anymore, as we see from recent cases.
Okay. With us to comment briefly on both of these things is New Jersey Democratic Congressman. Frank Pallone. Congressman, thanks for coming back on WNYC. Hi.
Oh, hi, Brian. Thanks a lot.
So when did you first know that Nancy Pelosi was going to talk for 8 hours on the Senate floor? Apparently there wasn't a lot of pre-press and there wasn't a lot of sort of Democratic activism, you know, promoting it and tweeting it out as it was going on and trying to spread the word, like Elizabeth Warren when she was talking a year ago. What happened there?
Well, I don't think, I know that it wasn't Nancy's intention to go on for 8 hours. She did want to make the point, though, that we need to address the Dreamers and that Speaker Ryan should bring up a bill that corrects their status. My understanding is that we knew she was going to go on the floor that morning, but I think that what happened was there were so many cases that were brought to her attention by members, including my own Dreamer who came to the State of the Union, that she just kept going because she wanted to bring them all up, and she wanted to thank members of Congress for you know, for bringing them to her attention. But the main thing is she wanted to make the point that, you know, we're here, we're going to vote on a lot of legislation. Right now we're doing bills that are not very controversial. Why can't we have a vote on DACA? Mitch McConnell has promised a vote, but Speaker Ryan doesn't want to do it. And, you know, I think, look, this is part of the democratic process, that the Speaker should allow legislation to go to the floor that's important, that people care about. I think it's quite clear that these DACA bills will, you know, at least one of them would ultimately pass overwhelmingly. So it's simply not fair that the Speaker doesn't allow it to happen. I mean, this
imagine the situation that we might be in maybe a couple of weeks. I'm not sure how quickly this is going to happen. Let's assume this two-year spending bill goes through, and that clears the path for Mitch McConnell to keep his promise in the Senate, and there is an open floor debate on immigration. And then they get to yes on something. They get to something
the
Senate can
Brian.
Pass with the 60 required votes.
Right.
At that point, how can Paul Ryan say, I will not even bring this to the floor?
Well, that was the whole point that, Nancy Pelosi made. I mean, she repeatedly said that they're going to have a vote in the Senate. I don't have any doubt that the senators will come up with legislation that gets the 60 votes and passes, and it comes over to the House. And she basically said, you know, at least commit Speaker Ryan to letting the Senate bill that passes have a vote in the House, and he's not willing to do that so far. So that
and this is an example of Ryan, who used to distance himself from Trump a little bit, totally giving his power of Speaker of the House over to Donald Trump, because Ryan's position is he won't bring that bill to the floor unless Trump had promised to sign it. Correct?
Yeah, correct. And that's absurd because, you know, basically he doesn't do that on anything. In other words, we know that the House and the Senate develop legislation usually without the president's input, particularly with Trump, because we never know what he's, you know, going to do. Even if he has input, he changes his mind the next day. So everyone knows that you can't rely on the president to say whether he's going to sign something or not, or what he supports or not. You know, that idea was jettisoned months ago.
And if we play this out one more step, and I should really be asking Paul Ryan, would you get him on the show for us, please? But if the Senate passes it, and then the House passes it without getting prior approval from the president, how could the president possibly veto it if after...
He won't. The president President Trump hasn't vetoed anything, and I doubt he ever will. You know, he doesn't have any ideology. He just wants to have a press conference saying that he's done something. So I have no doubt that whatever we pass, he would sign. So that's why the whole issue of saying we're going to see what his opinion is absurd. He doesn't usually have an opinion or one that we can rely on anyway, and he signs anything. So the whole idea is just an excuse on the part of Ryan, because he doesn't want to offend the right wing, who don't want to address DACA. They just want to it to expire on March 5th and begin the detaining and deportation of Dreamers. It's just very sad.
Let me get your take on the Rob Porter, John Kelly thing. CNN reported that White House Chief of Staff Kelly and other Trump aides knew in early fall that Porter was accused of domestic abuse, creating difficulties in getting him a security clearance, which I think I understand he never has been given, even though he's a top White House aide.
Correct.
But when he was first asked to comment this week, Kelly praised Porter, referring to him as a trusted professional and a friend. Now Kelly says he was shocked by the allegations, and apparently Porter's being shown the door more quickly. Do you believe that Kelly knew or didn't know about the Porter allegations for months?
He had to know that there were problems with the security clearance, and, you know, that sends up a red flag. And you know, for him to ignore that and to have Rob Porter work as essentially his first assistant is terrible. I mean, I think that John Kelly really shouldn't be in that position as chief of staff to the president if he's going to allow somebody who can't make a security clearance not only work as his first assistant, but not inquire further into why he didn't have a security clearance. So either he knew or he didn't inquire, and either one of those is a pretty bad situation, in my opinion.
This is domestic violence, and he denies it, though that photo that came out of one of his two ex-wives who are making these accusations is so disturbing, but he does deny the allegations.
Yeah, but Brian, my point is, if he had to know that Rob does not have a security clearance, right?
Yeah.
He had to know that.
Yeah.
And the fact that he would hire him and not inquire further as to the reason is, if that's what he's alleging, is almost in my opinion just as bad as if he did know and hired him. When you know that your person can't get a security clearance, you know there's some kind of problem. And if you don't inquire, that's just as bad.
This is not workplace sexual assault, but this is domestic violence. But does it indicate to you that even after these months of Me Too, that the White House doesn't get it?
Oh, I think Kelly and the White House are completely out of touch on the sexual harassment issue. I don't think they have any idea that this is, you know, that they shouldn't have people working there who have problems with sexual harassment or domestic violence. I mean, they're just completely out of touch.
Democratic Congressman Frank Pallone from New Jersey's 6th Congressional District. Thank you very much for giving us a few minutes.
Thank you, Brian.